got billionaires. There's 500 new billionaires
right
in the United States since the pandemic started. And they're spending their money, not hiring people, putting people back to work, building things that we need, child care centers and urgent care centers and housing that people can afford and fixing the schools and preparing for the next pandemic and fixing the internet, roads and bridges and all the stuff that people need to make a decent life. They're not doing that. Instead, what they're doing is they're taking their money that they basically stole from, you know, and they're running around spending $28 million to take a 7-minute ride in a spaceship.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'm not the only one, and you are not the only one angry about that watching that. I see a pattern on, you know, television and stuff like that, what working people are saying about this, and it's like, they're fed up.
Yeah, especially Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, that guy had the nerve yesterday saying to thank the Amazon workers who worked so hard that he could have the profits so he could fulfill his childhood dream of going to space. I wish he stayed in space.
All right, Mark. So in that PRO Act, is there provisions in that PRO Act that would protect workers who want to do organizing, you know, at the work site?
Yeah, so that's what this is supposed to be for, and exactly what you just said. Because if you, you know, if you say, okay, I'm sick of this, and I'm working at a local, let's say, grocery market that's anti-union around here, and I'm sick of the way I'm being treated. We don't have guaranteed hours. We don't have guaranteed schedule. You know, that's really hard for working people. They're like, this week you got 10 hours, and next week you got 20 hours. This week you're working mornings, and next week you're working afternoons, and there's some notorious employers around here trying to do that. If you tried to organize a union amongst them, you're going to lose all of your hours. It's legal for you to organize a union and talk to your coworkers about this, but they don't want you to do it. So those workers are harassed. Their hours are cut. They're slashed. They're all sorts of things, and even worse, they're fired. They have trumped up charges and all sorts of other things that happen to workers in that situation. We saw when we were trying to organize McDonald's around here how difficult it was to do it and how much harassment those working people took. Right. And we were taking the bold chance to stand up for themselves and their coworkers. So I'm looking at this, it'll make this a million times easier for people to take that critical first step, reach out to a union and say, let's have some meetings and all of that. But I'll tell you one thing. If I was a boss and I was looking how the world was going right now, and I wanted a workforce that worked, you know, stayed in the industry and worked hard, I'd be giving them whatever they wanted to get. All these employers are crying and complaining they can't get anybody to work. Well, you know, pay a living wage. Mm-hmm. Treat your workers with respect and dignity. You'll get some people to work. And I think that that's like really a thing that they don't understand, that they you know, as you know, Willie, every single building in this country was built by working people. I heard that yesterday. It's like workers are lazy. Lazy? We do all the work.
Right.
They steal all the money and they go to Mars with it. So that's enough of that. You know, I mean, that's, we got to change that.
Right. And Mark, just a few more questions. Another point is that been, you know, dogging the working class movement is how the employers and the capitalists kind of divide workers.
Yeah.
All kinds of ways, you know. So how do you think that this act will help us in the fight for racial and gender equality?
It's a great question, and there's so many divisions amongst working people.
Right,
there are ones between race, and they've been exploited over the years. There's ones between gender. You know, women are taking our jobs. You know, African Americans are taking our jobs. All that kind of crap. When it's actually no factory that I've ever worked in that's went out of business was closed down by a woman or an African-American or Latino or Asian person or anything like that. They were closed down by white capitalists who closed them down
right
and moved to other countries for more money. I used to be a cutter in the garment industry. I ain't any longer. It doesn't exist here. So, and it wasn't closed down by immigrants. So there's those divisions. There's the divisions between skilled workers and unskilled workers. How many times you tell we're paying burger flippers $15 an hour? That those kinds of prejudice that are passed into the working class, and then between workers that are working and workers that are unemployed. So there's all of that kind of stuff happening constantly amongst it. The best way for people to learn about one another and to stand in solidarity with one another, I believe, is in a union. My first experiences, I come from a town that was not the most diverse town in the world. And when I moved and joined a union for the first time when I was a kid, and I was working with people from everywhere, it was like the United Nations, and I was like learning and growing and changing because of the people that I worked with. And I believe that those things, if we could get into unions and we could be in that situation, that a lot of those things would break down over time in the struggle for a better life for all of our people. A fight for human rights, a fight for dignity for all, and I believe in a union, that's like sort of the best way that we could go about doing this. And I think that we're getting closer to that day than we've ever been in the United States of America. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of people that will tell you the opposite of that. But when I was a kid watching civil rights demonstrations, the overwhelming majority of people in those demonstrations were African-American people. Very few and far between did you see white people being in those demonstrations, a small percentage. In fact, when you did see white people at a civil rights demonstration, they were throwing rocks usually at the people in the demonstration or beating them on the bridge. So nowadays, when you watch a civil rights demonstration, half of the people going to it are white people. Young people, like, for instance, my daughter, who's been going to some of these demonstrations, who's sick of living in a world of racism and doesn't want to live in that world any longer. And I think we got a better shot of making a new world where human rights are possible for each and every one of us. And solidarity is the name of it's how we live our lives. How we'll move forward as a and maybe survive as a species even, is through solidarity, starting with labor solidarity and moving to union, human solidarity, where human beings can finally flourish. And I believe that day's closer now than it's ever been. And I think that if we keep working together and listening to one another, that we'll get there. And when that day comes, if I'm still around on the planet, which, you know, I ain't a spring chicken anymore, Willie, you know that. When that day comes, that'll be a great day to get up in the morning, because all of this hatred that and all of the terror that African Americans have had to endure in this life, in this country, well, that'll be over, and we can start building a world where human beings can flourish, rather than people have enough money that they can take a ride into space for $28 million for 10 seconds, for 10 minutes, whatever it was. why you got people, why you got billionaires going to the stars, and you got a million people in the United States living, families living in their cars.